What is truly the difference between a country of mysticism and a religious country or a secular one? In fact, what is the difference between mysticism, religion, and secularism? Truly, is imitation the work of a monkey? What is the attitude of humans that leads them to imitate a cleric? Welcome to the 54th episode of Restart. Welcome to Restart. Welcome to the most dangerous show in 700 years. Welcome to Whose Monkey is Imitation? Welcome. The mind, the heart, and the bloody feeling. First, let's get our feelings bloodied. Let's open our wings like the Simo, go to the city of lovers. Let's unite the hearts. Let's get rid of winter. Let's bring the spring to life. Let's become the Cymurgh, the stature of the beloved. Let's be companions to each other. Let's go to the beginning and become sick. To arrive, the beloved must. On the roof of life, although we fight, we are companions on the path. At the end of color. On the roof of life, although we fight, we are companions on the path at the end of color. The Restart program is presented to you, dear and esteemed listeners, with very important questions. Why is it that throughout 100,000 years of history, whenever people want money, they know to find a rich person, or when they have a heart problem or some other issue, they know to go directly to a doctor instead of a public bath, a mechanic, or a ministry? Why do people understand perfectly when they lose money or are given money, but they know nothing about religion? Truly, what defines an expert in religion? Why do they understand to go to a doctor and not to anyone else among the 7 billion people, but when the topic of religion comes up, it doesn't matter to them who they go to? They just go. They just walk into a church, a mosque, and the doors of religions are open for anyone to enter. Or they easily become godless without finding an expert. Now, in the Restart program, we are taking back people that many claim for themselves, like Nietzsche. We are telling them, sir, for example, even those who think Nietzsche is an atheist and consider him one of their intellectual leaders, we say that Nietzsche's mysticism and Gnosticism have nothing to do with you. He is seeking the Superman, the perfect human. His path is clear. And governments also try to do what with any strong person? They try to present that person with a different worldview, meaning they'll label Rumi as Sunni or Shia on Wikipedia. It doesn't matter if you label Rumi as Shia, Sunni, Christian, Jewish, or attach any religion to him, or call him an atheist, or stick any other character on him. You've destroyed Rumi, meaning Rumi, who is a man of mysticism and Gnosticism and has a single religion, the same religion as Khayyam, the same religion as Ferdowsi, the same religion as Attar, the same religion as Nietzsche, the same religion as Socrates. If you attach him to any religion or sect, it becomes the destruction of Maulana Jalal al-Din Muhammad Balkhi of Khorasan. And for governments, it's important. It doesn't matter what you label Rumi as. Call him Christian, call him Muslim, call him Shia, it makes no difference. As long as he isn't associated with mysticism and Gnosticism, they've won the game. As long as people don't think that Attar is about mysticism and Gnosticism, and then ask, is mysticism and Gnosticism a religion? As long as people don't understand, forgive the 72 nations for their wars, for they saw not the truth and chose the path of myth, this is the victory of governments, and the clergy of the world have won this game. As long as they can say, sir, he wasn't a Muslim, or he was a Muslim but he's an infidel, what do you label him with? Just don't say he's a man of mysticism and Gnosticism, because then the question arises that we haven't recognized the experts, and we're reminded of Restart episode 32. Why are you searching on the street for that which is within you? Why are you searching for that which is your pain? When you're cruising the street to pick up girls, you're definitely not looking for a pharmacy. But when your tooth hurts, you are definitely looking for a dentist on that street. If there was a dentist there before, you wouldn't have noticed because your tooth didn't hurt. You went to the pharmacy, you went to the cinema, you went everywhere but the dentist. When your tooth started hurting, the dentist lit up for you. This is what they call Socratic Platonic questioning. This is a way of seeing. So governments know that you shouldn't write mysticism and Gnosticism under people's names. Why? Because then people's teeth will start to hurt. Then they'll say, sir, we've never seen a religion like this. Then they'll understand the religion of the 73 nations and Hafez and so on. The important questions arise. What's the difference between a religious or secular country and a country of mysticism? It's a huge difference. A religious country means the Islamic Republic of Iran, meaning the Islamic Republic of Iran, not the Christian Republic of Iran, not the Jewish Republic. Islamic Iran means all other religions and atheists are screwed. Why? Because then it takes on a religious perspective. They call it ideology. Ideology means a person's relationship to their environment, their family, their religion, their science. Anything outside your thoughts that is in your thoughts becomes your mental ideology, meaning you think about it. Imagine a fanatical, die-hard Muslim becomes president. He will definitely do everything he can to eliminate all other religions. Then I'll give the definition of secular. Enough. In the outside world, we are reminded of the Restart program, which is revealing 700-year-old secrets. This program is not meant to belong to Husseini. This program is broadcasting the perspectives of the great figures of Gnosticism and mysticism and aspects of them to reveal secrets that governments don't want revealed. Otherwise, what Rumi says, what's that? That's not important. Rumi's biography is not important. Rumi's mom is not important. Rumi's mom was so-and-so. Rumi's dad was so-and-so. His uncle, Rumi's female cousin, is not important at all. In mysticism and Gnosticism, that's why Muhammad ibn Abdullah's female cousin is present. The successor of Muhammad ibn Abdullah's female cousin who visited is present. In mysticism and Gnosticism, even the person's name and family name are not important. What's important is the way of seeing, which you don't know and I don't know. That's why we don't know that, as we said, for example, Darwin took the theory of Azizuddin Nasafi, one of the great Sufis, and published a book called Darwin. Now, many people say so secularism is that word that only in mysticism and Gnosticism. There is no country in the world that is secular. Absolute secularism is only in mysticism. What? Meaning any person who comes to power or anywhere in the world has an ideology. When they have an ideology, they can't be secular. If I'm a supporter of the Reformist Party, I can't also support the Conservative Party. When I'm a supporter of the Reformist Party, I'm definitely not a monarchist. When I'm a supporter of the Reformist Party, I can't be a member of other parties. It's that simple. So this can't be secular. So right here on Iran Network, I explain that it's impossible for a political party to be secular. They're talking bullshit. They say, I want to implement secularism. Bullshit. The same blunders they make in religions, the same blunders they make in other matters, without you, the Iranian, and me, the Iranian, understanding the issue. All parties are lying about secularism, and it's impossible for them to be secular. They themselves say, we are members of such and such party. This means they must not accept other parties. They must undermine other parties. They must interview, debate, and argue with other parties in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mr. Husseini, I am a Muslim and I am secular. This is bullshit that is an absolute lie, leaving you no path for salvation. The moment you are a Muslim, it means you are not a Christian. When you are a Muslim, it means you are definitely not a Jew. You can't be secular because you have an ideology, because you have a belief, because you have a belief. You believe in something that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is your prophet. You respect him too, because this is how religions are. They accept the previous one and not the next one. You respect them. You say, yes, Moses was a good man, but not really anymore. Now, the definition of infidels, which we explained in this program, is that infidels means everyone in the world. We don't have infidels. Infidels means the worldview of the people of any religion is that of an infidel. Why? Because kifran means a cover. It's a curtain that is drawn over your eyes and you don't see reality. What is mysticism? Mysticism has existed for 100,000 years. Mysticism is a chain. Mysticism is a chain. Is it easy? Can you explain? Yes, beautiful. Yes, my dear. Please send this program to the dear Basijis, to the dear Revolutionary Guards, to the fanatics, because our country is currently Muslim, Islamic, right? Send it to them too, so they can listen and know their eyes on my lips. It's important that they get the point that, sir, it's not like this at all. What is a country of mysticism? A country of mysticism means a chain. Mysticism itself means a chain. Now, if a Sufi does the honor at some point in history to, say, become president, he has really cheapened himself. He has brought himself very low. He has insulted himself by becoming president. And that's why when throughout history a few Sufis, a few good boys, good girls came and became Sufis, their names have remained throughout history, like Cyrus. The Jews tasted mysticism during the era of Cyrus the Great Sufi. What does chain mean, Mr. Hosseini? Chain means one after another and connected. It becomes a chain. It becomes prayer beads. It becomes a rope that is not cut. Wherever the rope is cut, it's just that piece of rope, like the example I gave in previous programs, that if you hang someone from 10 stories, wherever you cut it, they will fall down. A chain is not like that. It is the rope that is known among Muslims as habl. Habl means rope, hablullah, the rope of God. Hold fast to the rope of God, hablullah, and be not divided. A chain means that after Jesus there is a person. After this person there is another. That's why Jesus is so famous for only bringing two people, just two dead people, back to life. If you don't know the reason for Jesus' fame, it's that Jesus was one of the greatest figures on the path, meaning he had a strange worldview, which we will explain over time. A chain means that after Jesus there is definitely a person. We see Peter raised 40 people. Peter raised 40, 50 dead people. But Jesus' name is famous for raising the dead. Why? So what does chain mean? It means one after another. What do religions mean? What do atheists mean? Atheists mean a book by Aziz Nasafi, for example, came out, and they call it, for instance, Darwin's theory.
It's fashionable now for them to take this book by Aziz Nasafi and attach it to their atheism and create a religion of godlessness. So atheism is a religion. It's very interesting for you to know that atheism itself is a religion. What are religions? Religions are beads, meaning they've pulled one of the beads of this rosary, this chain, out. And in coordination with governments, they've formulated it into the religion of Islam. Meaning if we pull Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who is a man of mysticism and Gnosticism, out of Islam, Islam has nothing left. When they pulled Mary out of Christianity, Christianity has nothing left. When we pull Moses, this beautiful one of the world, out, the religion of Judaism has nothing left. In a country of mysticism, because Christians, Muslims, Jews, all religions and atheists are a puzzle piece of this picture, they are a piece of this 100,000-year-old greatness. They took one of these beads. They are a bead from this picture. When it's a complete picture, everyone is there. Now, why did Cyrus help the Jews? Because Cyrus was a man of mysticism and Gnosticism. Every religion is respected within it. As soon as you say Jew, you say, okay, sir, come to mysticism. Moses had mysticism and Gnosticism. As soon as you say Muslim, you say Muhammad had it too. As soon as you say Christ had it too. As soon as you say Zoroaster is the same as Abraham, you say he was also a man of mysticism and Gnosticism. So when someone becomes a Sufi, God forbid, we should say, because the probability of a Sufi becoming president of a country is a joke. It's very difficult. You have to lower the character of mysticism so much for it to become president. But when it happens, all religions are free within it. Why? Religions are a puzzle piece of this. They are a bead from this chain that is one after another. So they steal. They stole from the beads and claim them as their own. In all religions, by the way, atheists are also seen in religions. Look, when you say, La ilaha illa Allah, La ilaha means there is no God, meaning you become godless. As I said last time, the main condition of mysticism and Gnosticism is that you first understand that no God exists.
So are atheists, for example, better than religious people? Yes, because religious people say a God exists. For example, we Muslims say we have a God, a book, a tradition, a Muhammad. My God. Mysticism is a chain. It's a lineage, one after another, all of them. One bead was lost and became Islam. Not that it was lost, it exists in mysticism, but on Wikipedia they wrote Muhammad ibn Abdullah Muslim, Jesus Christian, which they took. What are atheists? Atheists say no God exists, meaning half of La ilaha illallah. The atheist is also La ilaha. There is no God. So he is even closer to mysticism, tasavvuf, tasawuf. Why? Because after La ilaha, you understand illallah, meaning there is only one. And that is the religion of mysticism and Gnosticism. I've explained this before, but many people ask. Now let's see what the result is, for example. In all religions, the people of mysticism and Gnosticism have tried to explain to the people of that religion that the religion is a trick. But because they were killed throughout history, they were killed throughout history. Or this Ghazali, who helped the clergy so much, saved thousands of mullahs from death, and they, not the jurists, no, the insolent ones. A jurist has its own definition. Not the jurists, the insolent ones. What did the insolent ones do? They came and killed him. Meaning the person who showed them so much kindness, saved their lives, they killed him. He looks and sees that he told them too. He explained to the people of every religion that these people are insolent. They are not jurists. A jurist. After this, my dear Basiji, your eyes on my lips, my ears on your lips. Pay attention. Go search, find out, and realize that your path to salvation is this very restart. Shahid Thani, search for it on the internet, it will come up. Shahid Thani, whom all the mullahs of history accept, said, do not suppose that the written and codified matters are in the books. Jurisprudence is seeing the light of God in things. Shahid Thani says it, and all the mullahs accept him. He says, don't think that jurisprudence can be read in a book. A jurist, because jurisprudence means seeing the light of God in things. My soul, jurisprudence is not found in a book. Shahid Thani. And he was a great man, a very great man indeed. At least some, didn't back down from any statement about mysticism and Gnosticism. This becomes a very important point. In the movie Scandal 2, it's written on the wall, the world is in the presence of God, meaning he knows the religion. The world is in the presence of God means in the place of presence. And the difference with a Sufi is that the Sufi is the presence itself, meaning the world is in the presence of God is about the place. What does that mean? The words are right there in your movie. Look, don't say you don't know. That's why mysticism did something in religions that when you die, there is no way back. You ask why, it's laughable in the movie. He says, yes, we don't know what's on their walls. The question that gave you a headache, did you go to the pharmacy? Number, did you go to the grocery store? Number, did you talk to a taxi driver? Number, did you go to the ministers? Number, did you go to the president? Number, who did you go to? The doctor. He says, well then, how did you not understand that to find God, you must go to the people of God? Why did you go to someone else? Do you not have common sense, a sound mind? I don't. I do it. In Islam, we have no path of salvation. When, God willing, we are all entering hell, God willing me among you. Which hell? Now that has a definition. The baby in the mother's womb thinks it is in two other worlds. It doesn't know it's in this world, meaning the mom is eating potatoes, it doesn't know. When it dies, meaning it dies and is born, two deaths happen to the baby. One is death in the first second as a zygote. Another is a very strange and great death where mitosis and meiosis happen. The second death is the moment the mother's labor pains start and the baby is about to come out. It dies. As soon as it comes out, it thinks it's in another world, a paradise. It doesn't know that for a baby in the womb, the Niavaran palace is not hell, it's paradise. They are beautiful and outside. They become the heavenly houris while it's in the mother's womb. All of them, all very, the whole religious story. What did it do to return? The mother understands by questioning the baby. When the baby is born, it sees, hey, Dad was right. We have houris. I am different. We have houris. We have 3.5 billion houris in this world. We have 3.5 billion Gilmans in this world. It understands the concept of oppression and tyranny on this side. It understands the concept of good and bad on the other side. Here it understands that a good deed isn't about the bathroom. If you say a good deed is a toilet, it doesn't understand good deeds over there. It understands them here. Here it has to go and build a toilet for people. Here it understands what good is. So what does any good deed in the womb mean? Any good deed in the mother's womb is mostly wrong on the outside. What does that mean? In the mother's womb, it thinks it shouldn't stretch its legs. It must stretch them. It should sleep. They've made a couch for it. And when you die and enter your grave, it's the same. You think you're in another world. When you die to this world, oh man, you're in this very world. So just like the baby in the mother's womb thinks about this world and the next, you too, when you die, are in this very world. But the form of the world and its conditions and coordinates change. That's why there is no path of salvation. Now, I said it as a joke. God willing, you all go to hell. How will they question you in the next world? The next world is this very world. They will ask you, they'll say, good boy, good girl, my dear, had you not heard that imitation is the work of a monkey? Yes, we had heard, but we didn't believe it. No, what do you mean believe? You must have the conditions for imitation. You have to meet the conditions of imitation. How did you understand where to hide your money? How did you understand that if you have an account at one bank, you shouldn't go to another? You understood these things. When money comes, you understand. When food comes, you understand. You understood the difference between eating korma sabzi and then, for example, eating korma sabzi. You understood these things. How did you not think about this? Mysticism and Gnosticism in every religion, because governments took one bead along with the cleric imposters and created something called Islam in order to make the people of that country or that world or those people understand that when you die, your father will be taken out. A Farsi idiom for being in deep trouble. It contains things you cannot escape from. And that's why we see in the Islamic Republic, which is itself clerical, the movie Scandal comes out and on its wall is written, the world is in the presence of God, meaning it must be present. In the book of Shahid Thani, whom they themselves praise, it is written that jurisprudence is only seeing the light of God in things. Hanzala was a Sunni from Ahl al-Sunnah. I didn't say it wrong. Umar ibn Hanzala was one of the Sunnis from Ahl al-Sunnah who said something that all Shia scholars have accepted for these 1400 years. Now, when we say Shia for 1400 years, we are again mistaken because there was no Shia at that time. He was Ahl al-Sunnah. He has a very simple sentence, which I will now, let's go back to the Valley of Seeking and explain it. This is it. Let's know. This man, Umar ibn Hanzala, said one thing that all of today's Shia scholars who think they are Shia accept. They asked him, sir, you say imitation is the work of a monkey? He says, yes. They say, well then, who should we imitate? Who should we follow? Who is likely in the presence? We can't find the one who is the presence. Meaning, finding a Sufi is hard. Religion has become a completely new thing for us. After 700 years, Iranians in the Restart program have realized there is something new. So how do we find a person that we can be sure has a connection with God? He said this person has a few conditions, a few things. If you find this matter, you can easily understand it. He said, understand. Yes, he said the first condition is guardian of his own soul, sa'inan li nafsihi. His soul is in the palm of his hand. Let's see the few simple conditions he gave. He said, if you want to imitate Hosseini, whoever you want to imitate in any religion, see if he has these things or not. Guardian of his own soul, sa'inan li nafsi. His soul is in his hand. Rumi says, the soul is a dragon that I want to recite now. Rumi says, the soul itself has seven heads. Its seven heads stretch from the Pleiades to the depths of the earth. Rumi says there is no way to have your soul in your hand except through restart, except if that beautiful one has given you a state in your soul. Is it that easy? Is God, I don't know what, that anyone can reach him whenever they want? To see a president, a king, people of the world wait in line for 50 years, you think you can find God in one night? Rumi says, killing and holding the soul in one's hand, guardian of his own soul, sign and linafsi. Rumi says, it's impossible. It's very hard. He says, guardian of his own soul, his soul must be killed and in his hand. Whenever you say open your left hand, you should see his soul, protector of his religion, hafidhan lidini, meaning he must know what religion is to be its protector. He is a guardian of his religion, hafiz, Hazrat Hafiz, the hafiz we explained in the program, who knew the Quran in 14 narrations, then said, whatever I knew was to my detriment. I wish I had been a lover of that beautiful one. Only love for that beautiful one can save us. Because jurisprudence is not in a book. Jurisprudence is seeing the light of God in things. This is it. It's not there, man. It's not. Did you get it right? Or Faid Kashani, who said, whatever we did was wrong, was wrong. We published books. We published nonsense. Forgive us. Opposed to his own desires, mukhalif and lihawa, meaning he must know what desire is, he must know the desires of the soul, hava yanafs, he must know the desires that exist in his body, meaning he must be a medical specialist, obedient to the command of his master, muti'an li amri maula. He should be in amusement and diversion.
What does amusement and diversion mean? I need to explain amusement and diversion a little. What does amusement and diversion mean? It means anything you think about besides God is amusement and diversion. Meaning right now, as you are listening to this program, you are in amusement and diversion. Now, in Restart and Iran Network, Restart is another program that is from that beautiful one. It is presented to you and me so that we may understand. Besides the Restart program, everything you are doing is amusement and diversion. So I went to pray, that's amusement and diversion. Because you don't see God there, your prayer is amusement and diversion. Essentially, amusement and diversion means, except for the love of the beloved's face, it was wrong, it was wrong. This becomes amusement and diversion. The rest is love. Except for the love of the beloved's face, it was wrong, it was wrong. Faid Kashani explained this very clearly. Except for paying attention to the perfect human, it was wrong, it was wrong. Whatever we do, I prayed, it was wrong, it was wrong. I fasted, it was wrong, it was wrong. I am helping this lady, it was wrong, it was wrong. This got really hard. The whole topic just went up in the air. We must oppose to his own desires. Means amusement and diversion must be completely eliminated. We had a 1 minute nothing campaign. To think about nothing for 1 minute. You know what's hard about it? I even shortened it. I shortened it with relativity. If I make it 5 minutes now, we're destroyed. You can't not think. For 5 minutes, we can't think of nothing at all. This is it, a joke. Forget it. Why? Because you cannot think about drowning unless they drown you. Do you know when you understand this death, drowning? When I shove you in the water, hold your hands and feet and don't bring your head up again. That's when you are drowning that you understand. The rest is all slogans. Yes, we are drowning. We save the drowning. We do such and such. It's a joke. This is a definition. This is a treatise. A treatise is the personal opinion of people. The Torah is written. The gospel is written. The Quran is written. It's fake. It's a joke. It's a slogan. It's words. Death can only be understood. Jurisprudence can only be understood when you are thrashing your hands and feet and your head is underwater. Understand this. When you throw a fish out of the sea, it understands in the frying pan. A fish never understands the sea or the ocean. It never understands that the water is saving it, unless you pull it out and hold it. At first it doesn't understand, and then it understands death. It understands the blessing of the perfect human and Gnosticism and mysticism at the point where it realizes this water was the perfect human for it all along. I don't understand. And what's interesting? What's interesting is this, and the last one is this. So what was it? He says, guardian of his own soul,
Sa'inan li nafsi, protector of his religion, Hafidhan li dini, opposed to his own desires, Mukhalifan li hawa. Umar ibn Hanzala says, what's the last one? Obedient to the command of his master, Muti'an li amri maula. Obedient to the command of his master, Muti'an li amri maula. He said, obedient to the command of his master, Muti'an li amri maula. That our tongue, this secret that my lip tells, who will tell? Let him say who is the owner of this voice. Let him say who is the owner of this voice. The ear, love wants a tongue of love. Understanding love wants a language of love. Understanding love.